Justin Glaw is a writer and independent journalist who started his career in small Midwest newspapers, including the Bemidji Pioneer, and he went on to have his work appear in The Guardian, Rolling Stone, The New York Times, The Daily Beast, and more. If I Am Coming to Your Town, Something Terrible Has Happened is the title of his first book. It is a visceral and raw account of this last decade of police killings, protests, and massacres across the country that Justin reported on, and his addiction to alcohol that mirrored the country's descent into darkness. The book is Justin's attempt at coming to terms with being entrenched in such chaos and finding his way to recovery. I'm Tammy Bobrowski, producer and host of What We're Reading, and joining me is KAXE News Director Chelsea Perkins. We had the opportunity to talk with Justin about his new book.
I was working on the book before I got sober, you know, which has been about 4 years now. Regardless of the whole recovery aspect of it, you know, the reason that I was working on this book even prior to that, because as I was going around the country reporting on these things and writing about them, I just had this sense of like, am I the only one seeing all of this crazy, violent, you know, sort of decline type stuff? And am I the only one that feels like this is all very bad in a way, you know? So it was sort of like almost like a cathartic thing. Like I was writing it to make sense of what I was seeing over all these years in all of these different places, sort of with the thought that like, surely I can't be the only one who's viewing this through this lens, you know?
I remember you, Justin, as a reporter for the Bemidji Pioneer back in about 2013, particularly for your Homeless in Bemidji series. And you write about your experience there in the book. You were still pretty early in your reporting career. So I'm curious, how did your time in Bemidji inform the rest of your writing and reporting career?
Oh, it was incredibly formative for me. You know, I mean, that was my first opportunity really to do the kind of reporting that I felt like was important and needed to be done. And, you know, so I was really fortunate to be given that runway. And, you know, in the end, things didn't work out, you know, for me at local newspapers. But for that brief period of time in Bemidji, reporting on the homeless issue and, you know, other issues affecting the Native community, I mean, that was in a lot of ways, like, It was both a very happy time and a very dark time for me personally. And I say I was happy because I felt like there were some like systemic important issues that needed to be addressed, you know, because I'm not supposed to do this, right, as a journalist, but I do approach things from like an ideological standpoint, really, that like I hope things will get better for everyone, you know. And so, you know, it was happy because I was able to like do some stories and hopefully bring some important issues to light. But also it was some dark subject matter. Being homeless is not fun. It's not like a happy thing that people end up in that situation for so many different reasons, but there is a level of sort of darkness about that life. And there was a lot of alcoholism and mental health issues and things like that in the homeless and in the Native communities. And I was in the middle of that for my time in Bemidji. So it was incredibly formative. And really the big takeaway that I have from it, that went on to like inform what I've done since then, is like, this stuff still matters. Like telling important stories about people who are often overlooked still matters. And the reason that I learned that lesson is because of the response of the community in Bemidji, that people paid attention to it. It, you know, they took it seriously. I mean, they even went and started the coalition, and, you know, there's a shelter now. And like, that is almost unheard of in other parts of society, where we were, as journalists, we write about and we report on like serious systemic problems all the time, and nothing ever seems to happen. Nobody ever seems to try to alleviate those problems. And Bemidji was the exact opposite of that. They read those stories, they took it seriously, they said, wow. You know, obviously people knew this was happening. It wasn't like, you know, they never knew that and I showed up and miraculously opened their eyes. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to say that, but I was so like heartened and impressed with what happened as a result of those stories. And it really, like, you know, people talk about restored your faith in humanity. I mean, it's a great example of that.
You do a lot of reflecting on the incidents that you responded to across the country, through the lens of how, what this means for the country as a whole. And you also then are looking at it through your personal lens. There's a lot of discussion about how maybe you're slowly recognizing the secondary trauma that you're experiencing as a result of covering these incidents. Now that you have been sober for 4 years and are kind of looking back at this time, how much do you think your struggles with that changed how you covered and what you chose to cover even throughout that time?
I definitely think that I tended to gravitate more towards the darker aspect of American life and the more sort of like violent and chaotic events, because of my mindset of, you know, I was in active addiction. I was in active alcoholism, and you know, so like I kind of had a more depressed, I guess, mindset or something. And so that's like where my focus went. I mean, ironically, like it's not like nowadays I write about, you know, like happy go lucky, feel good stories, you know, like I still focus on this stuff, but I never really did it because I was like, oh, I want to wallow in the darkness. I mean, there was some of that, right? But like I did it because like the dark and the violent and the chaotic stuff that I cover, like with the homeless, I'm still doing it from a point of like hopefulness that by doing this reporting and exposing these wrongs or just, you know, sort of like dark situations, that maybe other people will see it and be like, yeah, I agree. Like, that's not good. You know, like I wish it weren't this way, but the reality is that it is that way. And like the only way to, you know, I make the allegory or, you know, the metaphor or whatever you want to call it in the book, like that the only way to really like solve an issue, whether it's my personal, you know, alcoholism stuff or like a bigger societal thing, is that like you have to recognize the problem to begin with. And if we're all just walking around being like, oh boy, it's really bad that those 57 people got murdered in Las Vegas by a guy with a, you know, assault rifle. But whatever, like I got to go to this barbecue this weekend. We're never gonna like maybe address the deeper problems that led to that quickly forgotten and very violent moment in American life.
This is What We're Reading. I'm Tammy Bobrowski, along with news director Chelsea Perkins. We're talking with writer and journalist Justin Glaw. His new book is called If I Am Coming to Your Town, Something Terrible Has Happened. It chronicles his journeys reporting on the past decade of violence in America. Our conversation continues with Chelsea Perkins asking Justin about the decline of news reporting in rural areas.
Your descriptions of the diminishing newsrooms was so on point, and was something that I have personally experienced having moved from the Brainerd Dispatch to this role. That really stuck out to me as like I could really relate to that. I think a lot of times people don't think about, you know, they think about rural places as not having stories to tell, and you did that a little bit in your book. How did that change for you, the perception of a rural place not having stories to tell through the work that you've done in rural places?
I mean, I think they have more stories to tell, right? And I think that the disintegration of local news only increases that news value, you know, that there's fewer people out there reporting on the same amount of news or more news that is happening. But you know, I also hope, and this is one thing that I wish I'd done a better job of talking about in the book, is like, I hope that people, when they read what you just described about the diminishing nature of newsrooms and local news, like, I think that a lot of people, regardless of what career they're in, like, we are in a massively changing society here. I mean, people who I grew up with, who went to high school and got a job at Caterpillar, and you were going to get 60 a year, and you were going to get a 401k, they should be able to recognize those scenes from emptying out newsrooms from their own lives of working in factories that have diminished. You know what I mean? Like, there's and it's not just like manufacturing jobs either. I think that there's lots of people in lots of different careers and workplaces who will identify with what it looks like to see something that you thought was an institution that was like really never going to go away disintegrate in front of your eyes, and in a relatively quick period of time, you know. So I hope that, you know, it doesn't just apply to other reporters who have, you know, watched it firsthand, but that other people can identify with it too.
So, Justin, you really take us on a ride in this book with your reporting, with your life, and so I felt really invested in asking, like, how are you doing now? Like, are you still reporting? How is recovery going? And just how are things right now for you?
Fine. I mean, you know, I hesitate to say great, but you know, I mean, like, they're good, you know. And like I said before, the it's not like I now don't report on bad stuff. I mean, I was in LA last year, you know, for the unrest there, and I joked with like people that I needed to go there to get my annual dose of tear gas, which is like, it's very true. Like, I still do, when I see unrest situations, that hair on the back of my neck stands up, and I'm like, I gotta go. You know, I gotta be there because I want to see it, and I want to be able to like try to understand it, I guess, you know, in that specific situation of why it's happening. And yeah, I mean, so like, I'm still reporting on, you know, some pretty serious and troubling things. I just did a big story a couple of weeks ago or last month, about a rapidly increasing number of deaths of immigrants in ICE detention centers. And so I was right back to where I was 15 years ago or whatever, like calling up medical examiners and getting autopsy reports and going through them. And so, like, it never really ends, you know? It's just that now my life is just like a lot more balanced. And whereas I used to just sort of like sit in that stuff and it was like all I did and all I thought about, you know, now I'll work on something like that and I'll do the tasks that I set out for myself for that day or that morning or whatever. And then I'll go play guitar, or I'll go work on something on my house, or I'll check in with somebody who I haven't talked to in a while. And so, like, I've found that that is a really good sort of system for me to continue doing the work that I feel like is important, which often involves talking about and thinking about and reading and researching and reporting on like some pretty bad stuff, with, you know, also, let me take a step back from that and walk outside and like recognize some of the really good things that there are out there around me, which means in the world.